right now on VFN TV. We're talking more about the charismatic renewal movement that touched the world, touched America, and shifted the church. For the interview with Charles Simpson, one of the leaders in the charismatic renewal movement, talking specifically about character, how important discipleship and character is. You know, our giftings can take us places that our character cannot keep us. As a matter of fact, our giftings can build something that our character tears down. We talked about that, and also how our need for spiritual fathering and accountability with Charles Simpson right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
Today, we're continuing our interview with Charles Simpson with the charismatic renewal movement that just shifted the world, shifted America, and got the church's attention. What by a move of the Holy Spirit? What we're talking about in the interview, character, how important character is and how God shapes it and how giftings can take you places that your character can't keep you, or giftings will get you to build something that your own character will destroy, believe that or not, right? Also, we're going to talk about the need for spiritual fathering and accountability with Charles Simpson, one of the leaders in the charismatic renewal movement. Let's join the interview now. You thought we were talking yesterday, and I want to get back to that story. I know where we left off, but about character, you know, that, you know, it's a prerequisite just for life in general, but definitely in the kingdom. But it requires us to go up under something for a period of time. And we're in a society today that doesn't put any stressors. As a matter of fact, they give you a timeout zone. They give you, you know, places on college campuses. I forget where you can't say things because they'll, like, the buzzword. I forget what the words are they said. That even the military, they're talking about some in boot camp. They have safe zones. And the military, they have, like, this card you can pull off. It's getting too heavy. But we're keeping ourselves from actually, to be a disciple means you're literally going to go through some difficult times and see who you are, right?
If you remove the difficulties, you destroy the character. Character comes from a word that means to engrave. And it's when you cut a hard surface, and we call our numbers characters, our alphabet characters, because originally they were engraved in stone or some hard wood surface and made to endure, not break, and stand alone if necessary. So I read a little sign, men destroy with their character what they build with their gifts.
Wow.
If you don't if you don't have character,
that's so important what you just said.
Men destroy with their character what they build with their gifts. That still happens. A lot of gifted people crumble under the stress of success.
Right.
And believe me, success can be wonderful, but it can be dangerous because you begin to think you're special.
Right.
And you know, next thing you know, you've entered into a kind of pride that blinds you, and then there's trouble. And the enemy's smarter than we are. So we need to be vigilant, diligent, and on guard, and walk humbly before God.
Right.
And when you're in a fast-moving social tide, it's hard to be humble. You're usually humble after that's all over with.
Humbled, right?
And I love success. I wish everyone success and abundant life. And I believe God wants us to have that, but He doesn't want to destroy us. And if you give a child valuables, it's dangerous for the child and the valuables. Mm-hmm. And so you really want somebody to be mature before they inherit. It's like the story of the prodigal. The younger son wanted his inheritance, but he wasn't mature. Mm-hmm. And so I think God wants to build character in us and wants us to listen to the Father. We need spiritual fatherhood in our lives.
Yeah.
And so that we don't run off and waste what was earned with great difficulty.
It's such a privilege to have a father in the Lord. You know, Paul said we have 10,000 teachers, but very few fathers. You know, for I'm your father in Christ Jesus. But have that one that's there with you to help you walk through those difficult times and shape and mold and keep your confidence and say, quit looking at the gift right now. Right now, you got to look at your this, you got to look at your that. In that relationship, I mean, Paul had that with Timothy, Paul had that with spiritual sons, but it seems to be fathering in general is under attack. But without the presence of having that father heart towards someone, but which is desiring someone to do well, even if it's better than them, it's actually a benefit, that without that, it seems to be a hard environment for that to take place.
Well, the biggest problem in the world is the lack of fatherhood everywhere. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we're in a culture that has become increasingly anti-male. And it's a backlash sometimes for men not being what they ought to be.
Right.
But I believe that if you move it from the natural over into the spiritual, that there's a failure of fatherhood in the spiritual as well. Mm-hmm. And being an official with a title is not the same thing as being a father.
Right.
And that's an institutional substitute for fatherhood.
Orphanage.
Pardon?
Orphanage is what.
And I think our Western construct, and it's not all bad, but our Western construct is increasingly let some kind of institution do for you what you're not willing to do yourself.
Yeah.
And let it be your parents. Mm-hmm. And we have made our government the father of a lot of children.
Yes.
And that's very unfortunate because they never grow up. Mm-hmm. They work their way through bureaucracies.
Now you're looking at over 50%, I believe, of the millennials and younger want socialism, which is the government to be the ultimate provider and one step to communism. But I think it birthed there in the time of the 60s, you know, when that big push, this is the climactical point now, what they wanted to do in the 60s, Cloward and Piven all crashed the system and all and destroy the family and shift everything around. But the church should have stayed. I mean, what you guys were doing was staying true to the word, like all that's going on. Okay, fine. But let's just be the church. This is what God says in His Word. This is what we should do. You know, this is how we function.
Well, there's a tension in truth always between two extremes, and sometimes both are true. Mm-hmm. I think usually they are. One is that we're separate. Mm-hmm. The other is we're in the world, but not of it. We should have an influence in the world. Mm-hmm. And there's this tension. You want to withdraw and be different. And sometimes that leads to complete isolation. And although most Christians don't think that way, they are isolated by habit. Mm-hmm. And then there are others who want to change the culture. Thank God. Mm-hmm. And the seven mountains and all that, change education and be an influence, which is a good thing. And there's this tension. We are one on the one hand separate, and on the other hand we're involved.
Right.
And it's hard sometimes to know which mode you should be in.
Yeah.
I personally think that we need Christians who live a life of separation personally, but who are involved socially and experientially.
Yes.
And I think
that's what Jesus did.
Yeah. I think so. I think Jesus, well, I love the Sermon on the Mount. It is the constitution of the kingdom. And he talks about how we're to interact with the world. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be good for every Christian to study Matthew 5, 6, and 7 carefully.
Right. Yeah, if you said, I think it's very important, right? The red light. Hey, we're sorry we had to interrupt this interview. We're going to come right back where we left off after this break. Be sure to comment below. We want to hear your thoughts on what we're talking about. Join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
We spend our whole lives searching for meaning and direction, for something that makes sense. The Bible is supposed to offer that clarity. Is that how it works, though? Because if the Bible is that enlightening, why do so few people spend so little time in it? Maybe we're missing something. Sure, the Bible is the story of God, but it's also our story. If we take God out of the Bible, there is no Bible. But if we take people out of the Bible, there isn't a Bible either. The Bible is our story, with God in the middle of it, as He has always been. Maybe things are about to change. Maybe direction and clarity can actually be found. You can go through the whole Bible using the time you could otherwise waste. And you'll be among friends. That might just change everything. Look in the mirror. Remember today, because time in the scriptures are going to start shifting things. In a month, you're going to realize that you're not alone. Look back in the mirror in a year, and you'll realize that the Bible has changed the way you look at just about everything. It'll be like coming home. The search is over.
Do you believe in the cross of Christ?
I'm a pastor.
If you believe, then the question is, what are you going to do about it?
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So we're going to go back to, I know I don't want to break you up, but we're going back to Fort Lauderdale. You are pumped. You've been invited to come be an editor and a writer in New Wine Magazine. It birthed. Also to speak. And you're the youngest one of the five that was coming together, the five of you guys. And, you know, people are getting born again all left and right. People are getting filled with the Holy Spirit. People are wanting more God. So it's just an exciting time, especially when you prophesied to trees for years and talked to people who weren't going to do what was, you know, pastoring a church that, like, why am I talking to you? You're not doing anything I'm saying. And then all of a sudden, everybody wants to know. That's an exciting time. And so that environment's taking place. And so all of a sudden, there's just a crisis that hits in the middle of that that kind of shifts things. And you guys are going to, like, it's something that somebody else started. They were just inviting you to be a part of it. You guys kind of said, yeah. But now it's like, we're probably going to have to step away from this. And but something happened. The Holy Spirit just touched you guys. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, when things were really moving in 1970, and we had property in Jamaica, we were doing seminars internationally. Mm-hmm. I got word that there was a moral problem in the administration. Mm-hmm. Bear in mind, we administrated the magazine, but not all the other stuff. I mean, there was a television station, there was libraries, there was debt, there were a lot of things, and we didn't have anything to do with that.
Something totally disconnected from
right.
You guys.
Yeah. We were simply magazine contributors.
And in addition, while you're running your ministries worldwide. And
well, we had our own ministry.
Yeah, right, so I'm saying you had your own ministries. Yeah,
yeah, we all had our own ministry, and so we were staying busy with travel, communication, speaking, and I'm in Jamaica doing a 2-week 7-hour-a-day seminar. And
air-conditioned?
No. It was it was thankfully on the ocean side.
Okay.
But there were people that came down from all over the United States.
Wow.
To be there. And Derek was supposed to be teaching with me. His mother passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a rough week. I mean, it's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And I taught more than I knew, to tell you honest truth. I mean, I come back.
I taught more
and I came back and heard that there was a moral issue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our faces were on the magazine. That's what everybody knew about. And the other brothers had been on television. And so...
And this magazine's in homes all over the world.
130,000 and probably 70 different countries.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we didn't know what to do. None of us had been in this situation. And so
you're talking about the five of you that were teachers.
The four at that time. Erm wasn't yet part.
Okay.
This is 1970.
Mm-hmm.
And so the person who was involved with the problem, and it was a very serious problem, and a repetitive problem, felt like that his ministry was in jeopardy, which it was, and began to call around the country and tell his friends that we were taking his ministry from him. In fact, we were ready to resign and get away. We just didn't know what to do because everybody thought we were the ministry because our pictures were in the magazine, we wrote the articles.
Mm-hmm.
So we met and discuss the issue, and
we being you, Bob
Derek, and Don.
Okay, Derek and Don, okay.
And we met in a hotel room. It was down on Miami Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many people were there at the seminar, but it was more than 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided that we would resign.
From the magazine.
From the magazine. And that we, at the same time, that none of us were accountable to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that we needed accountability.
Because any of us could fall, any of us could fall into crisis.
Well, we saw the problem of the brother that fell into a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that it was happening out there.
Right.
And it was just, it was harvesting. Everybody was running loose in the field.
Right.
And not accountable for their role or what they were going to do. And so we, in prayer, and again, I was like a junior partner. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was a younger guy.
Right.
I looked up to Derek Prince. He's, I don't know, 25 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
Bob was 7 years older. Bob was already famous at that time.
Okay.
Probably the most popular teacher. Billy Graham said Bob Mumford was his favorite teacher.
Okay.
So, I mean, this is heady stuff for me.
Right.
And so we got down and sought God because this was a serious time. Our ministries, the movement, the charismatic movement, the
great things are happening. Great things are happening, but in the middle of that, somebody's
a real tragedy
happened. Yeah. Oh, I hate to interrupt right in the middle of this interview, but we're going to pick right back up where we left off after this break. Don't forget to comment below. We love hearing from you. See you after the break.
We'll be right back.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night.
When a story is told time after time, literally for centuries, it can get a bit distorted. The facts, as presented, not quite as accurate as they could be. So let's see how you do in catching the myths of Christmas.
What do you think? Did Mary ride a donkey to Bethlehem?
Well, the Bible does say Mary was with Joseph. No mention of a donkey.
And what about an innkeeper declaring there was no room in the inn?
Sorry, buddy.
There is no mention in the Bible of an innkeeper.
Here's another. Were there three kings on camels at Jesus' birth?
Maybe. Matthew's gospel mentions the Magi, but does not mention the number or how they got there.
The fact is, there is much that the Bible does say about the birth of Jesus in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. Read it for yourself.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And so Bob and Derek felt that God had joined us together. And one of them asked, I forget which one, do you want to bring Charles along? And they said, yes, of course. And so I'm included.
So you're walking into this room with the intention everybody's going to resign and step back from this magazine.
Yeah, right.
Because of things happened, it's disconnected from that.
Right.
But then when y'all prayed and sought the Lord, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit begins to touch your heart. Something happens that kind of joins y'all together.
Right. It wasn't about us being joined together. Wasn't about us continuing with the magazine.
Okay.
We saw we needed each other for our personal covering.
Awesome, yeah.
That we needed to be accountable. Yeah. I went back to my room. I was rooming with a brother at that time, and I walked in and I said, I think something's happened that may affect my life.
Yeah, I read that.
And I thought, I had no idea.
Right.
So anyway, we were asked by the other people on the so-called Committee of 40 not to leave.
And the Committee of 40 are the ones that they put together originally to help kind of business
they
people.
They were support people,
leaders.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they, because they knew that our pictures were in the magazine owed money.
Right. $33,000 at the time, which is equivalent to $250,000 today, I believe, $250,000 today.
And we just bought a TV station. I mean the ministry hit.
Right.
And so they said, you know, don't leave.
Right.
So we stayed with it. And, you know, the fun was beginning because rumors were out.
Right.
And anyway.
And the brother that went through the difficulty, y'all actually went to him.
Oh, I personally was asked, even though I was the youngest, I was a pastor.
They threw you in the fire.
Yeah. So right. I sat down with him and another friend who was really his friend, who had funded a lot of the activity, a good man. And I offered him an opportunity to go through restoration.
Which is a gift. You're like, you're helping me be restored and be healed.
I offered him a place to live. Mm-hmm. We had land in Jamaica, a beautiful place. And he was familiar with it. He'd been involved with buying it.
Mm-hmm.
Asked him just to desist from ministry for a season.
Y'all were going to compensate him during that time?
We would take care of him financially, and we offered him the best thing we could if he would go through the process.
Right. And so you're trying to save the situation.
Yeah, we were trying to save him and his family.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't work. So then we had to assume responsibility for a ministry that we didn't create.
Wow, that's difficult.
And we had our own ministries.
Wow.
And we elected to keep our own ministries and not try to build some conglomerate.
Right.
Because bear in mind, none of us wanted a denomination or a system or to control anything.
I mean, what was there was just property, but not, I mean, it was debt. It was the beginning of the magazine, 1970, is it?
They had some employees. Yeah. This is in 1969, the magazine starts, in 70s when the fund began.
Okay.
But
so then that's when just all of a sudden we went to resign. Next thing you know, we're getting together for ourselves. We want accountability. Tried to help this particular brother, you know, go through restoration. He wasn't open to that. And then y'all just kind of watched. And all of a sudden, you know, the author writes about, Moore says, all of a sudden the debt went away. You know, people gave, you know. And then the magazine subscriptions continued to go up.
And it prospered.
Prospered.
Yeah, it did well. And it was a time where a lot of things were booming. I mean, God was moving.
Bill Johnson says in that season, you could have said Mary had a little lamb and people get saved. So many people were getting saved.
I think that's right. I think, I was going regularly, as was Bob, to Christian Center in Anaheim, which was the big church at that time. Okay. I think around 10,000. Mm-hmm. And I went there 9 times. And the pastor was an evangelist, but not like you picture. He was a very laid back, spoke very easily, but he could give the announcements and 100 people would get saved. I mean, it's just incredible.
Right.
And it was a theater in the round that they had bought from Disney, Disneyland. And it was amazing. I grew up in a country church. Mm-hmm. It might seat 200.
Right.
Maybe, probably not. And so, you know, I've moved into the city, I've pastored a church, and now I'm going to a church that has 10,000 on Sunday. Well, 3,500 it would seat, and they did 3 services. Oh. And it's next door to Disneyland. Mm. So, I mean, the whole world has become Disneyland to me. And it's, you have to really watch yourself because you're being pushed up and onto a platform that is dizzying, and some people don't make it.
Right.
I'm just grateful to God that I survived it, because you're not always making good choices. You're not always equipped to handle a situation. And there's a tremendous demand on you when you're sitting out there standing on the platform and there's 3,000 people saying, tell me something I haven't heard, you know.
Right.
It's a challenge.
I hate to be able to break in this interview, but guess what? We're going to finish this interview tomorrow. Listen, make sure you comment below. We'll let you hear your thoughts about what's being said. Maybe you were a part of this movement. Comment below, share your thoughts, share your testimony. Well, tomorrow we're going to pick up an interview talking about how the charismatic movement started in meeting in homes. I guess you would call it churches, house churches. They're praying together, how that started. Also, we'll be talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how 10% of the leadership in traditional church got filled with the baptism. About 1 million of the lay people inside the traditional church got filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and how it kind of shifted and kind of paused a liberal leaning. There's so much to learn on our next program. Make sure you join us at our next program. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I pray a blessing over our audience. God, encourage them. I pray that they would learn something and be encouraged by what was shared on this program, Father God. I pray for those that have been desiring to stand up and do what you called them to do in this day, will be encouraged to do it, God. In Jesus' name, and Lord, we ask you, dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God. Love others and lead others to the same. And I'll see you in the VFNKB community.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at VFNKB.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.